You are listening to Radio Boston. Stop me if you've heard or said this one before. Too much TV will rot your brain. Well, today we are taking a fresh look at worries about the effects of screen time, especially as the drumbeat continues on the relationship between social media and mental health. So, for example, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy released a study last summer showing children who spend 3 or more hours a day on social media are more likely to experience negative mental health outcomes. Now, two local experts, though, think that a deeper dive into the research shows we might be looking in the wrong place. We are joined by Dr. Michael Rich here in studio, founder and director of the Digital Wellness Lab at Boston Children's Hospital, and on the line, Professor Peter Gray. He is a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Boston College. Dr. Rich, welcome.
Thank you.
And Professor Gray, welcome to you as well.
Very happy to be here.
Great to have you. So I'm going to ask each of you to sort of lay out your hypothesis in a couple of sentences about where we actually should be looking for what I think we all agree is a decline in mental health or well-being for kids and young people. Do we all agree on that part first, Dr. Rich? Do we agree?
Yes, but that's been going on for much longer than social media and smartphones have existed.
And we're going to get to that. And Professor Peter Gray, that's your position as well, yes?
Yes, this increase in mental disorder among young people long preceded the digital age. It's been going on for a long time.
Okay, and let's pick up there then. So I'll stay with you. Professor Gray, your hypothesis is that where we should be looking is?
Well, we should be looking at all the ways over time that we have increasingly restricted children's opportunity to be children, their opportunity to play, to explore, to learn the things that children in the past and in other countries that are less restrictive of childhood, that children learn how to make friends, how to get along, how to negotiate with other people. We have developed a society in which children are continuously supervised, monitored, protected, not given the chance to learn the what psychologists call an internal locus of control, that I can solve problems. One thing we know is that people of every age, if they don't have this internal locus of control, this sense, I can do things, I can control my fate, that sets you up for anxiety and depression.
And you, Dr. Rich, what is your hypothesis? Is it the same?
It's very similar. Peter has been a mentor to me in the past. So one of the things that I think is absolutely important is to emphasize open-ended free play that is not adult-directed, either in person, as in a coach on the sidelines, or out of person, or virtually by the design of video games, etc.
Okay, so the thought is, listen, what's really at issue here is the lack of free play.
Yes.
And what social media or devices or screens, Professor Gray, are one way that we don't play freely?
Well, you know, the other way to look at it is it's the one way we allow kids to play freely, right? You know, we've restricted them from other ways. I am not convinced. I've looked very deeply at the evidence being cited for the role of particularly smartphones and social media in this. I'm not at all convinced by the evidence, nor are most of the people who have conducted this research. I mean, let me just read, if you'll allow me, a two-sentence quote from one of the experts who reviewed the recent book, Anxious Generation. She says, two things need to be said after reading The Anxious Generation. First, this book is going to sell a lot of copies because Jonathan Haidt is telling a scary story about children's development that many parents are primed to believe. Second, the book's repeated suggestions that digital technology are rewiring our children's brains and causing an epidemic of mental illness is not supported by science. I read that just so people will know I'm not the only one who says this. This is one of the leading experts in this realm who's published review articles on it and so on and so forth. I think this is a message people want to hear because it sounds like a simple solution.
And that book, of course, has sold quite well. Okay, so I'm going to pick up on that thread. There's a lot of sort of poking and prodding and pushing and pulling I want to do in this time. I'm going to play the sound, and then I'm going to explain what it is, and we're going to talk over the sound for a minute. Here we go. Okay, that is ambient sound. You know, kind of like, what's going on? But some people will recognize that immediately because it's the game Minecraft, all right, which is a world-building game. You can play alone or you can collaborate in. And actually, a psychologist named Dr. Glenn Gehr wrote about it in Psychology Today back in 2015 as an example of a game that can actually help build social skills, and yet it's also screen time. So not cut and dry in a case like that, Dr. Michael Rich, and kind of building on what Professor Gray said.
Oh, absolutely. It is not the use of social media or smartphones that
or
is causing some people problems. It is how they use them. And that they are not using, I mean, Minecraft can be a great way to connect with people, to collaborate with people, to do a lot of the elements of free play. And it actually served a great role when the kids were locked in for a year with COVID. So I think that what we need to do is use these powerful tools in mindful, purposeful ways and understand that the times they are on screen is not necessarily toxic, but what it does is displaces something else, which may or may not be a richer developmental experience.
So, Professor Gray, one of the things that was on my mind is something that the two of you both said at the beginning of this conversation, which is that the decline in mental health or well-being for kids and adolescents goes back a long time. So I'm going to take us back a long time now. This is going to sound like I'm trying to be funny and silly, but there's a serious point behind what I'm going to do here. So this is a scene from a 1971 movie, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. We are introduced to Mike TV, who's played by Paris Femin, and his mother Doris, played by Nora Denny. Mike's pretty much glued to a TV, even as a reporter's trying to talk to him about finding a golden ticket.
Hey, Mike, you think we might shut that thing off?
No, are you crazy?
He won't answer till the station break.
Mike, the country wants to hear from you. The world is waiting, Mike.
Can't you shut up? I'm busy. Boy, what a great show.
I serve all his TV dinners right here. He's never even been to the table.
You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
You know, and it struck me when our producer, Kyrie, pulled this sound that it was 1971, right? And in your, one of the articles that I read about your work, Professor Gray, you talked about sort of a 50-year arc. Okay, that's 52 years ago. On the other hand, the Gen X was sort of supposed to be the latchkey generation where kids were unsupervised. They were out on their own. They were sort of doing their own thing. So is there a circle that need or square that needs to be circled or the other way around, Professor Gray?
Well, so let me put it this way. If you look at a plot of teen suicide data, that's the most clear-cut data. It's, of course, the top of the iceberg of mental suffering. What you find is that teen suicides were very low throughout the first half of the 20th century. Began to increase a little bit already in the 1950s. Interestingly, when television came about, increased more in the 60s, 70s. Biggest increase was actually in the 80s. And then reached a peak in the 90s, actually, and then went down a little bit for a while before it started going up around 2010. So what I've claimed is throughout that 40-year period from about 1950 to 1990, and I've really looked at that, there are multiple things that led to less opportunity for children to be outdoors. One is the school year increased by 5 weeks, believe it or not, during that time. We began to give homework even in elementary school, which we didn't earlier in that time. We began to restrict children increasingly, especially in the 1980s when we developed this fear of so-called stranger danger. We began not to let children out to play as we once did before. We began to think that adult-directed sports, which is a little bit like school, they're run by adults, kids are told what to do, is a substitute for play, and it is not. So it's a whole set of changes, even the fact that houses got bigger, families got smaller, you're less likely to send your kid out. A whole set of changes led to less opportunity for children to play and explore as they really need to do to develop the kinds of skills and character traits that are needed to meet the bumps in the road of life.
So we're speaking with Professor Peter Gray, who's a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Boston College, and Dr. Michael Rich of Boston Children's Hospital and author of The Mediatrician's Guide, A Joyful Approach to Raising Healthy, Smart, Kind Kids in a Screen-Saturated World. We have begun to talk about and are going to talk a bit more about suicidality. So if someone you know or if you are experiencing a mental health crisis, you can call or text the number 988 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to receive crisis support. I hear you, Professor Gray. And I'm also now, and I'll bring this one to you, Dr. Rich, 2007 to 2021, according to the CDC, suicide rates for Americans ages 10 to 24 increased 62%. That's 2007 to 2021. I understand there's a difference between causality and correlation. The first iPhone comes out in June of 2007. Facebook goes mainstream, according to the Washington Post, in September 2006 for people at least 13 years old and older. How do we not look at that and say, okay, but there's also that going on. That is a tight correlation.
One of the things that is missed in this is that, yes, those kids who are using social media 3 hours or more a day do have more issues with anxiety and depression. But what is also missed is the fact that those kids who use no social media are actually at greater risk than those who use a little bit of social media. So this goes back to the idea of how they use it.
Okay,
rather
pause
than
there, because I want to really pull that out for listeners.
Okay.
So you're referring to something that Murthy said, and we actually have it. Here's Murthy about those. This is Vivek Murthy, U.S. Surgeon General, last May in an interview with ABC.
Social media is chipping away at their self-esteem. It's taking time away from activities that are critical for health and development, like sleep, but also in-person interaction and physical activity. But it's also exposing them to harmful content. So many children are exposed to violence, to sexual content.
Okay, so, and I wanted to focus less on the content and more on the time. You emphasize, of course, the report was 3 hours or more a day.
Right.
And so it's quantity at a certain point, and also what else?
Well, the reason it's quantity at a certain point is that those kids who are more anxious or more depressed may be reaching out to social media more to connect with others, to get validation, support, love. So I don't think we can say there's causality or even directionality of that relationship.
Okay.
And I think that's really important. I also want to oppose that with the number of kids who use social media in really positive ways to build connections across either geographic or ethnic, you know, different kinds of divides that society has set up. What I do think is that during the pandemic, which a lot of people point to as the cause of a lot of anxiety and depression, social media provided an important lifeline for most kids. For some kids, it served as an accelerant of these problems and as an amplifier of the effects of these problems, because
okay,
they were locked in at a time when they were biologically driven to get away from their parents and get with their peers. They got stuck in a box with their parents.
Yeah. All right. So last word to you, Professor Peter Gray. Now listeners might be saying, okay, I've learned a lot, but what do I do with my kid? Right? So the thought is...
Well, there's just one thing I have to say with respect to the other question. You know,
so I've got 40 seconds for you. So pick the thing you want to say.
Listen, the primary thing that parents need to be doing is finding opportunities for their children to play, to explore, to do things independently. It's not necessarily easy in today's world to do it. You have to find ways to do it. Find ways to not be always monitoring your children. Maybe talk with your child. You know, what kind of adventure would your child like to have that is independent, that is maybe just a little bit frightening, that you would agree would be a good thing for your child to do? That's a first step towards your child developing the kind of courage, the kind of, and these are joyful,
yeah,
for children.
Fantastic. Peter Gray, professor of psychology and neuroscience at Boston College, Dr. Michael Rich of Boston's Children's Hospital, and author of The Mediatrician's Guide, A Joyful Approach to Raising Healthy, Smart, Kind Kids in a Screen-Saturated World. I learned a ton from you today. My kids are grown. I kind of wish they weren't for a minute. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.